Hey,
Akeem, how are you today?
good. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I'm feeling great. Feeling good. So, what do you want to talk about today?
Let's talk about the topic at hand. It's been a big wedding this weekend. We saw the Meghan get married to Prince Harry, and it's a huge social media and worldwide attention. And it begged the question, that along with Childish Gambino's video of whether you could be pro-black and date outside of your race. And along with that, what responsibility do mixed children or people hold to, say, communities in which they're from? So if you're half black, do you, how should you be identified? Are you also held responsible if you also date a white person or say black person? How should you be identified? So I think those are two topics that's kind of been, hot right now, and people are, talking about and trying to figure out, how should we address this? What do you think?
So the first one, the first question is, can you be pro-black and date outside your race? I'm going to say yes. And the reason why I'm going to say yes is because pro-black means that you are for the advancement of black people, right? Economically, culturally, spiritually, anyway, you're just for the advancement of black people. Doesn't mean you have to be black to be pro-black. At least that's the way I see it. There are a lot of white people that I know that are pro-black. I know a lot of Asian people that are pro-black. There are a lot of people that are not black that are all for black people. So I think if you are dating two, because two white people that are pro-black are technically, still pro-black, right? If you got a white guy dating an Asian woman and they're both pro-black, they're both pro-black and they're dating outside their own race. So it's not a racial thing to be pro-black. I mean, you don't have to be black to be pro-black. So I believe you can be.
I think that's another question in its own. Can you be pro-black and not be black?
I mean, of course you can. Why can't you?
I never thought you could. And then I think the conflict for me on that is inherently as human beings, right? Of we can all say, the liberal saying is whatever, that we're all pro everyone, right? We want to see everybody be succeed and everyone be successful, right? Like that's the thing to say. Like I think that's the difference between liberals and conservatives, right, in our society, right? Where liberals are we want to see everybody get the same rights as everybody else. We want to see everybody succeeding. We want to see everybody be successful. We want to see everybody thriving, right? And I think conservatives are more so we want to see our people thriving. We want to see our people doing well, right?
Right,
You know what I'm
right.
saying? And then those are peoples, we can break those down into several different categories, but conservatives, are people be gun owners, are people white supremacists, are people Americans, right? So
Right.
we could, those things, are broken down more or so. So but I think racially, those other categories, right? You can pick, right? You can pick whether you're going to be a gun owner, you can pick whether you identify yourself as an American, right? And but your race, you have no pick over that. You were born into that, right? So you have to be, you don't have to be, you could have self-hate, right? But naturally, you naturally have to be pro what you are, right? So one of my things that I personally, when people get into arms about races, right? Like, oh, white people don't want to see black people succeed. To me, that's the natural thing for them to do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not upset at a racist for being racist. I can't control what he do, but I can control what I do, right? I can thrive to try to make sure my people are
That's pretty
successful.
blanket, though.
You see what I'm saying?
I think that's a blanket thing, though. Like I was talking to Chris the other day, and talking to her yesterday, and it's like black people, position we're in now, right? If it wasn't for some white folks saying, I don't think this shit is right. Because you just track back to when we first got brought over here on ships, some white people brought us over and enslaved us. And you had a whole bunch of white people enforcing and living that lifestyle. And this is what's right. Black people deserve to be slaves. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you start having some white folks and like, hold up, this shit doesn't seem fair.
Correct. So, like John Brown and some other abolitionists. Correct.
Right. So like, this shit doesn't seem right. You know, this shit isn't right. And those people, right, are white. They don't dislike their white people. They don't like dislike their white family. But they're like, these black folk need to be treated better. This is bullshit. Now, of course, it may not have started with they need to be treated equal.
Right. Right. So that's the question, right? They might their morality might say, okay, we don't need to be treated equal, but they do feel like we need to be treated better. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, like a lot of abolitionists were still quote unquote would be still quote unquote racist based off today's standards, right? But they just didn't think we should be slaves. Like they thought that was against the law of God that people should be slaves. Right.
They were still considered, they would technically be considered pro-black, right? Even though they are not trying to make everything equal, they're still pro-black. And let's just break it down.
Or are they pro-God?
I mean, let's switch over to like an animal sense, right?
Right.
Like, I don't want someone to treat me the same way they do my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't hoochie-coo me like you do my dog. Mm-hmm. Right? But I should treat my dog pretty fucking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should treat my dog well. You shouldn't treat her like me because we aren't the same, right? So if you have a mindset of that and just transition over to people, if you think, you know, like your race is better than another race, okay, that's fine. But you don't want the other race to be treated like trash. You know, just don't treat them as well as me. Mm-hmm. Okay, a rich man said, I'm rich and this guy's poor. You should treat me, you know, better than the poor guy. But don't treat him like trash, but you should treat me better.
Right.
So I'm not saying it's right. But it's how it is because I want to be treated better, you know, than my dog. And then there's certain times I want my dog to be treated better than me. You know what I'm saying? There's certain times I want a kid to be treated better than me. And sometimes I want to be treated better than the kid. You know, it all comes down to
the circumstances.
You know, right. But I'm still pro kid. I'm still pro dog. I'm still pro everything. So if you're a white person and you stand up for black people, you are pro black. No matter, at least this is how I see it, no matter what extent you're trying to stand up for them, you're still at this point, at that point in time, in this, you know, circumstance, you are pro-black, right? So you got all the, you know, when all the black people are going out for Black Lives Matter marches, and you got that one white guy holding the sign, he's pro-black.
Oh, so is he pro-black or is he pro-equality? Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? So for
at that point in time, though, at that point in time, he is pro-black.
Okay.
Like, he's not pro-equality. Right now, he's standing up for black people. He's not saying everybody should be treated better. He's saying right now, black people need to be treated better. You know, next week he may go off and be, you know, anti-abortion. At that point in time, he's pro-life. He's like, I think everybody should live. You know,
I feel you. I mean, to me, I'm very, you know, I'm more militant than most. So I'm very, what's the word, cautious when it comes to, you know, the white liberal, you know, because I feel like here's another thing, right? So let's dig into this a little deeper, right? I feel like white liberals disarm us from our rage and hatred. I'm not saying everyone is like not sort of like you hate white people, but they disarm us. For example, like when you see an image, right, from the 60s or 70s, and or an image from 2 weeks ago where a black person is unjustifiably beaten by a police officer or have their rights stripped from them and thrown in jail for a crime they didn't commit, or an image of like a black person being hung in the 40s and 50s, right? And there's a crowd of white people standing around with smiles on their face and laughing, right? Mm-hmm. The first thought in your mind when you see that image, you think evil, right? You think evil, you think terrible, and you get a rage when it comes to white people, right? You immediately think like...
I don't think that at all.
Well, maybe not most people, but a lot, I know I do, right? I know I get affected a certain way when I see these images, when I hear these things, right? And you constantly hear about, you know, things that white people have done to black people, right? The ways they have oppressed us. Like, there is a long history of oppression involved when it comes to the white race and black people. And that one, and that oppression is only, has been one direction for the upwards period of over 400 years. It's been one way oppression. It's been them oppressing us and then us trying to fight to receive equal rights, right? But, and whereas I think we are the only people that forgive our oppressor. And I think the reasons we do forgive our oppressor because we have been also taught by our oppressor to not throw everybody in the same box, right? That's not all of us. That's just some of us, right? So I have white friends, right? I work with good white people. Like, I mean, really good white people. I would have not been where I am as far as my work, right, condition, if it hasn't been for white people giving me a chance, right? When I didn't have any experience, they gave me an opportunity, right? So I also have been affected negatively by white people, but I understand that all white people are not bad, right? They're not, right? And I understand that. But a piece of my rage is diminished because when you try to get upset, think, okay, we got to do something about this. We go, oh, wait a minute, that's not all white people, right? Right. The white liberal diminishes the little bit of your rage, a little bit of your outrage, because you'd be like, well, you know, Rebecca's not like that, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like,
so what it sounds like we're saying, you can't hold a war against somebody or against a group of people when you know that some of them are okay.
Right, but it's secretly a war being waged against us. Right. You see what I'm saying? And it's like,
so, how would you propose somebody fix that?
Right, and that's the question. Like, how do you, like, you can't say, okay, we got to get rid of all of them. We got to fight against all of them, because that's what I'm saying. The white liberal creates this dichotomy in our mind where we can't have rage that should rightfully be there. Like, when you think about, for example, the Jew does not forgive the Nazi. The Jew doesn't go, okay, all Germans weren't bad, right? Because it was a whole country that went against them. Everybody, and everyone stood around and watched while it happened. And they didn't go, okay, you know, this wasn't all Germans, right? And it wasn't all Germans. Some Germans helped them out, right? But they still don't sit back and forgive them today, right? You know, and it's like, we go through that too in our mind, right? It's like, well, it wasn't all white people. Like, I know really good white people, but it doesn't...
There's a difference in the way you're taught, right? So, like, when you were talking about the picture with the kids and everything, people were smiling, you know, sometimes you got to realize that these people never even had a chance. Right, so like again, I was talking to Chris yesterday, and she watches SVU a lot. Mm-hmm. She was saying the episodes, this white dude, he was like really, you know, pro white and like a neo-Nazi kind of thing. He was just like, being white's amazing. I feel bad. He was talking to Ice Cube's character, and he was like, you know, I'm sorry you weren't born white. And you got to think about it, like, this kid was born into that mindset, right? Like, this is the mindset his family gave him. Like, if you think about religion, this kid is being born into a thought process of, hey, this is your life now.
Right.
He doesn't know anything. So when you're looking at these things, you got to look at these people, and I, like, especially with little kids, and they're smiling, looking at this person being hung. It's like anything else, honestly, because we have kids out here smiling and laughing when they step on ants, you know, smiling and laughing when there's a homeless guy on the corner, you know, smiling and laughing when their dad gets arrested. Like, this is what they're being taught. They're being taught these things, you know, so you got to look and say, first of all, I feel bad for these people.
Right. But I don't feel bad for them. It's a terrible thing that they were born into that, or they were brought up into that environment and that society, that now that's what they're being taught. But it doesn't change that's what they are. Evil begets evil. So
but you can always change that, or at least attempt to, and if not, distance yourself from it. But here's the thing, if you just allow someone that was born into evil, right, that knows nothing but evil, and you choose not to converse with them, not to talk to them, not try to open their mind, right? And then they, you know, never have their mind open or never have another thought. children that also believe the same thing. So it's going to be a continuous cycle if you allow people to be sheltered and believe what they were born to believe. But if you meet this guy, this neo-Nazi, and he's talking and just talking shit to you, and you just say, you know what, you know, I feel bad for you. You know what I'm saying? You start talking to him, and he may listen. He may not listen. You may be talking to a brick wall, or you may be talking to something like a sponge, an absorbent sponge. He may listen and say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. And I'm not saying he's going to change his entire group of people. At that point in time, you talk to one person as a person, and his mind has changed. A lot of people, they grow up, right? So let's talk about, like, religion. You grow up believing in God, right? You grow up believing in God. You grow up believing in God.
Right.
And when you get to a certain age, like let's say you're 25, right? That's all you've ever believed in. Like, that's been your friends, your family, everything you've ever done has been God. Now that you meet somebody, they're just like, no, I don't believe in God. They're like, what do you mean you don't believe in God? How do you not believe in God? That's insane. That's like, because they base their entire life off of God. So this person's like, yeah,
they base off their belief. Their whole foundation is
like, their based off of is off of every thought process they have. Like, this is like people I've met these kind of people. Their entire process is, well, God does it first. Like, God does this. God does this. Every thought process they have is God first.
It's filtered through that belief. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, when I tell them, oh, no, I'm not religious, they're like, what do you mean? You have to believe in something. No, I don't believe in anything. Well, that makes no sense. And I can see in their face, there's like this, that does not compute, like, look on their face. Like, that doesn't make sense. How can you not believe in God? And if you don't believe in God, how can you not believe in anything?
Like, so here's a question. Before we go too far on that idea, right? So whose responsibility is that, right? Because to me, I feel like it's not my responsibility to educate my oppressor about his ways of inferiority thinking, right?
That's where I think it's, you're wrong.
I don't think it's my responsibility to educate him. I don't know. That's the question. Because to me, I feel like only thing I can do is try to fight for what's right for me, right? Like, we're consistently being oppressed, right? And talking about it, marching about it, debating about it hasn't changed that condition, right? It's transformed that condition where it's no longer overtly in our face as far as I'm not going to walk down the street and get sped on, right? But it doesn't mean that no one's not thinking a certain way or somebody's not going to serve my meal the way that he would serve a meal to a white customer, right? Like, so it's not that, you know, it's overtly being done to it, but it's being done. And I can't get into the mind, like, if the day and age, if you still don't think that I'm equal based off of everything that you see in society, you know, the most dominant athletes and some of the most intelligent intellectuals on this planet are black. Right?
You gave the answer there. Like, that's okay. So the first one, like, who's, you know, responsibility is it? So this is my thought process, right? If I'm walking down the street and I see a little kid walking down the street with no parent, right? That's not my kid, right? But it is my responsibility. You take this kid to someone that can watch this kid and get this kid where he needs to be, right? So if I'm walking down the street, minding my business on my skateboard or whatever, just taking pictures, and I see like a little five-year-old just walking around looking confused, lost, I can easily say, well, this isn't my kid. It's not my responsibility to look after this kid. And if I do that, I could have just damned this child. I could have been the one person that stopped this kid from being kidnapped or killed or whatever. That was my opportunity. That was my responsibility to take care of that kid. And that's the way I see it. Because if I just let this kid go, right, I have done nothing to help this child. I've done nothing to help anybody today. Because now this is my opportunity. All I got to do is just hold the kid's hand, call the police and say, hey, I found this kid. And then give the kid to the police and say, here you go. Because now that was my responsibility. If everyone looks around and says, that's not my responsibility, this kid may die. But with CPR and everything called the bystander effect. And you see somebody go down, and you start giving CPR, and you just say, call the police, right? Everybody's going to think, well, somebody else is calling the police. He's going to call the police. So what they tell you to do when you're learning CPR is they say, point to somebody, look at them, and say, you, call the police. And that puts the pressure on that person to do that job. Like, I think it is our responsibility. If you see somebody that has a mindset of trash, right? And you see them and they're speaking trash, at the slightest, you can just say, you know, I feel bad for you. And fuck with their head a little bit. Like, why does this, they think you trash. They're like, why does trash feel bad for me?
But see, you're assuming they're going to, you're assuming that's going to work.
I'm not saying it's going to work.
Because, like, every white supremacist is not weak minded. Like, we.
That's close. Like, I'm not saying it's going to work at all. I've had conversations with people and I know it didn't go anywhere. But I've had conversations with people and I know it went somewhere. I had a conversation with a buddy in college. We were talking about homelessness, right? And he just said how he would, he was pretty much talking shit about homeless people, saying they're lazy, they're useless, and stuff like that. White kids from Delaware. And I was like, but why do you feel that? Like, he's like, well, you're homeless because you fucked up somewhere. And I was like, well, that's not always the case. Like, what if I'm homeless because my house burned down?
Right.
My insurance lapse or something like that, or I'm fighting an insurance battle and they won't let me, you know, they won't do my stuff. He's like, well, you should have done better. Like, his thought process was, you're homeless because you fucked up. No matter what, you fucked up, right? I was like, what if my girlfriend, you know, set my shit on fire, whatever. He's like, you're homeless because of your mistake. And I was like, okay. He said he would never hire somebody that was homeless. They used to be homeless. And I was like, why? Because that shows they have a lack of, you know, they got a lack of shit. They don't aren't good at taking care of their stuff. And I was like, that's idiotic. This person's listening to homeless for a year. They've been trying to get out of that situation. But people like you are the reason why they can't get out, because this guy saying, look, I'm homeless, but I'm going to be here at work. And you're like, well, no, I'm not going to be homeless because you aren't exhibiting to me what you need to be a good employee. So now this person is in a repetitive cycle of being homeless because of people like you, right? So this conversation, then the conversation ended, we went to class and stuff. The next day, he knocked on my dorm room door and said, Mike, you were right. I was wrong. I had never thought about it from that perspective before. And I feel terrible that's my mindset, right? He's had this mindset for 19 fucking years. Well, let's say like 16, right? His entire thought process in life, he's had this mindset that homeless people were trash because X, Y, and Z, right? And the reason why he has this mindset is because what he sees on TV, and he doesn't know any homeless people. But for me, like, I know homeless people. I talk to homeless people. I grew up in D.C. There's a plethora of fucking homeless people.
Correct.
I've had these conversations and like, you're homeless because? Oh, okay. Oh, you have family that you just don't want to know that you're homeless, right? Like, I know these things, but because he has never seen or met a homeless person and at least chit-chatted with them and talked to them, he has this opinion of them. So when you flip that to race, right? If you have a white guy that grew up in Nebraska around nothing but white people, right? All he knows is what he sees on TV about black people. And that's going to be Power, you know, that fucking show Power. these other, I don't watch the show, but these other kind of shows, like the Tyler Perry shows and stuff. So what do you see? Because when I look at Power, I'm thinking, okay, black people are drug dealers. They're gangsters. They're shooting people up. Oh, there's a white guy that also does it too. The majority of people in the show are fucked up. Oh, Empire. Right? So, you know, oh, this is a family right here, people. And they all seem to just hate each other. If you grew up in another place, never black people or another race, you're going to think what you see on TV. There was a girl, and she told me that she asked an African lady why they don't like her. Right, so, or why they don't like us? Why do we African people like black people? And the African lady saying, she said she's asked a number of people this, so it's always a different answer depending on who you're talking to. But one lady told her, we think you all are lazy because of what we see on TV. On TV, you all look like drug dealers and gangsters and seem lazy, and that's what we think you all are.
Right, perception.
Right, and that's your perception. So if you meet a white guy that grew up in the Midwest and thinks black people are trash, why does he think black people are trash? Because of the media and what's being shown on TV. He's never met a black person, right? Was that when I went to the National African American Cultural History Museum the other day, because I said it kind of before. And of course, one of the things they talk about is how Abraham Lincoln, like, didn't really fuck with black people. He didn't like black people. He didn't free the slaves, you know, for, you know, because he thought it was right. It was a political move.
It was necessity, yes. He did it to cripple the economy of the South.
Right. And right. It says, though, that on one of the walls, it said that Abraham Lincoln never really cared for black people until he met Frederick Douglass and got to know him. Towards the end of Abraham Lincoln's life, he realized black people were not what he ever thought they were. Well, because he never grew up around black people.
Well, it's debatable that he's part black. You know that, right? Well, it's the debate.
That don't matter. That don't matter. Okay. He you don't accept it, you don't acknowledge it, you can be part of whatever, and you don't accept it, it's not a part of you. But if that's the way I see it, if you meet someone who's never been around a group of people, they don't know shit. So they all they know is what they see on TV. Right? All they know is what they see on TV. So I know when I travel overseas with Chris, I tell her, hey, look, okay, be careful. If a guy comes over, tries to like give you a bracelet or something, or starts like whatever, or starts whistling, listen out for that. He's trying to mark us. And the reason why I'm thinking that way is because what I've read on the news, I mean, what I've read in the newspaper, what I've seen on TV, when you go overseas, they mark terrorists. They try to make not terrorists, tourists. They try to mark tourists, right? They mark tourists. That's my mindset going over for a safety reason. Be careful of this kind of shit because of X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter where I'm going, what country we're in. I say the same thing to her every time. And now what if I'm thinking, all right, when we go over here, when we go over to Paris, be careful of these Parisians because they're X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I'm perpetuating a stereotype. But I'm saying this is how it should be. Right? When I went over to Paris in 2014, everyone kept telling me, oh, you know, they're rude, they're snobby, you know, they smell bad. I get over there, they're nice as shit, they're paying for my meals, and they smell fucking divine. Right? I did not meet one person that was snobby. Actually, I met one girl who was snobby over there, and she thought I was trying to pick her up when I met her in the direction. That was it. Everyone else there was nice as shit. Now, there were people that looked at me kind of weird when I was riding a little small bicycle in a suit. I can understand that. I would probably look a little weird, especially being, you know, a fine black man in a suit and a bike. I get that. But that stereotype people had from America, telling me about French people, was wrong as shit when I went. And I didn't, I'm glad I didn't have that mentality when I went over there, because I would have not been open to talking to people. I would have thought they were all just easy shit. But that's my take on that.
So
responsibility.
My question is this, right? Because yes, you have, to me, white supremacy is broken down into like several different layers, right? Like you have, like, to me, like you call like your worker drones, right? Like, okay. So you have the people that create the ideology, right? And the ideology, they control the media, right? They control the narrative, right? So They control what everyone sees, hears, watches, you know? So that narrative controls. So the reason that the white guy in Nebraska has the negative stereotype or thinking of us is because of what he sees in media, right? So media is perpetuating the stereotypes purposely, right? So that the masses of white people are uninformed about who we really are, right? And then they end up taking those stereotypes and ideologies on, carrying those with them the rest of their life. They either go into law, you know, if they go into law enforcement, they use those same stereotypes and ideologies to enforce their jobs. If they become the CEO of a company, they use those same stereotypes and ideologies to say, okay, I'm not going to hire a black person because they're lazy. You know what I'm saying? So those stereotypes and ideologies get perpetrated through the masses of white people, but it's controlled by a few conglomerate of white people. You understand what I'm saying? So, because white supremacy doesn't, you know, it's enforced by the little people, the worker drones, the everyday guys we see, but it's controlled by the elite, right? So, because that's another form of a population control, another form of controlling society, right? So, when it comes to that aspect, right, how you can, you might think it's a responsibility, right, to educate them about who we are, right? But those people, there's a lot of them who know who we are, right? They know exactly who we are. They just don't want to have anything to do with us, right? They don't want anything to do with us. I know you're not inferior to me. I tell the rest of my white friends that you're inferior to me, but I know you're not inferior to me. I know your true history. I know where you really come from. Like, a lot of white supremacists know more about us than we do. And see, that is that form of white supremacy that scares me more than the guy who calls me nigger to my face. Like, I like that. I'd rather have that because that guy doesn't know shit, right? The person that scares me is the ones that know, who are very well aware of their inferiority or whatever complex that they have. Right? They're very well aware of who we are, what we are, and what we're capable of, and they actively choose their entire life to keep us out of those positions. And they smile in our face, they pretend to be our friends, but pass laws and policies and enact situations on us in order to continuously maintain us in the position in which we in. And I don't
that's survival of the fittest, though.
Yeah, yeah, and that's survival of the fittest, right? So, like,
I mean, that makes sense.
So when that's exactly that. Here we go. That's where I'm going with it, right? That's survival of the fittest, right? Because inherently, they understand that in order for them to stay in the position that they in, they must hold us down. You see what I'm saying? In nature, uh-huh. when one superior genetic population meets an inferior genetic population, that inferior population is destroyed, right? So we've been inherently been controlled to stop that inferior population from being destroyed, right? So, like, they, you know what's going to happen has a lot, if we also are allowed to thrive and live as you live, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we know that, right? And so I'm so do we continue as Blacks? And I don't even want to use Blacks. Let's just say as melanated people of the world, as descendants of Africans and African diaspora, us melanin people across the world are being oppressed in every nation, right? Africa, right. Africa, Brazil, America, all of us, right? We're constantly being oppressed and held in these positions and held in check because they are at fear of what the world will happen if we get in control, right? Yep. At some point, we have to decide that we're not going to be the oppressed anymore, right? Because, like, smiling to the worker bees and saying, hey, you guys shouldn't think this way of us still doesn't change the reality of the way the world is, right? Like, we're still being exploited, right? Like, everything about us, we're like, to me, I think Africans are the number one commodity in the world. We create everything and get none of the credit for it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we literally create everything. Everything that's popular, everything that's cool, everything that's popping, everything, all, you know, all culture runs through us, but we don't own it. You see what I'm saying? So, right. Like, so we're the number one commodity in the world. We're constantly being exploited, but how do we come from the position of being the exploit to being the owner? And that's and I don't think you can become the owner by asking or debating with your oppressor right. to let you get power. Like, it's not, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't behoove him to just give up his power. The power don't give power to the powerless by asking. It only comes from force. And I'm not saying, oh yeah, we need to go and knock down the doors and chop white people up. No, that's absolutely not. We don't even have the military capabilities or I don't think we're those type of people either. I think Africans are not those type of people. I think we are the most compassionate people on the planet, which is part of the reason why we are in our condition that we're in today, because we're naturally compassionate and we naturally see the value in human life, right? Because we were more like our oppressors. A war had been going on for thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? So we're not naturally like that. So how do we, based off the nature that we are, fight against our oppressor and overcome our situation? And I think the only way we do that, this is my opinion, is through economics. I think the same way that the Chinese have done it, you have to become economically superior, right? So you have to start your own businesses and buy Black and, you know, support each other and, you know what I'm saying, educate each other about who we are. Like, I think that's more important than anything. I don't care mm-hmm. about the oppressor trying to teach him, like, hey, you know, we're just as smart as you. No, I don't care about him knowing that. I care about my daughters knowing that they are just as smart as him. I care about every Black kid and little boy and little girl and man raising their children and teaching them that you are just as strong and just as powerful and just as smart as anybody else. And that's how I think we overcome it. I don't think we overcome it by telling them, hey, don't be racist. I think we overcome it by getting the inferiority out of us. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick bathroom break. You know, because I'm drinking a lot of water. All right.
Take a quick break.
Yeah, take a quick break, and then I'm gonna start it back up again.
All right, cool.
All right.
Michael.
All right. So we're back from the break, and we were talking about the inferiority complex that you do not want bestowed in your babies. Okay. All right.
So I remember I was on a quite a long soliloquy. What do you think of what I was talking about? What are your thoughts?
So your main point was about the getting the inferiority out of your children's mind, and that I 100% agree with. Our children, have that complex of just not being good enough, not being strong enough. And it's funny because I know a girl from college, and she's African.
Mm-hmm.
And, long story short, her father and mother, who were both African, married, divorced, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And her father remarried to a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Kids and stuff, mixed light-skinned kids. And I don't know if the mother ever remarried, but the father did. And long story short, her father, had another family, more like, I think like two or three kids or something like that. And she was always left out of, growing up, with her dad. Like, she grew up, with the dad, but not with their dad, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. He wasn't in the same household.
Right, wasn't in the same household. And that played a part on her because she started feeling like she wasn't good enough because she wasn't, white. Because
she didn't look like her siblings.
Right. And that was, of course, that wasn't the reason why, but that's how she felt. Right. So she ended up marrying a white guy, I think 2 years ago. Because she didn't want her children to be dark like her, to suffer the same type of rejection she had suffered and faced growing up, and just the feeling she had growing up of not feeling, of feeling inferior.
So it was a self-hate, a psychological, deep-rooted self-hate.
Yeah. She didn't like the way she looked because
she didn't want her children to look like her.
Right. Because it, to her, wasn't good enough. And it wasn't good enough because of her father going off to marry a white woman.
That's very interesting. Let me interject for like a quick second. So
please go ahead, please.
Me and my wife actually today had a conversation about very similar to that to that young lady you're talking about. So our conversation was in regards to interracial dating and in regards to how she believes historically Black men have dated white women more than Black women have dated white men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if there's any way to do the statistics or the numbers on that.
Well, now, actually, I did see one on Instagram. Of course, I don't, it's an Instagram post, but it did have a statistic. I think it's from the Census Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
That did say like the number of Black men to white women and all that stuff came right. Actually, while you're talking, let's see if I can pull it up on the phone.
Okay. So, now, I do know, just from a historical context, and me being a historian, right, I never looked into the interracial aspect now, but I do know a couple things led me to think that that was incorrect. Now, I could be incorrect in my assumption, but there's a couple things that led me to think that would be incorrect. Okay. The first thing that leads me to think that Black men historically have dated white women more than the other way around is that out of fear, right? The Black man in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s, you could probably get yourself in a lot of trouble for dating a white woman, particularly in the South. Maybe not so in the North, but particularly in the South. You most definitely get yourself in a lot of trouble, right? The other thing about that as well, so that was one, one issue, that one thing that I thought about. And then the other thing that led me to think that might not necessarily be true is because, the very first, they just made a movie about it, but the very first, one of the early cases of interracial dating that actually went to the Supreme Court was that Loving case. So where a white man was trying to marry a Black woman, and he had to actually take it to, I think it was Virginia versus Loving. And he had to actually take it to the Supreme Court to get their approval to do so because of the law in Virginia that was against interracial marriage. So that white man would not suffer any, tyranny, he didn't have the fear for his life for trying to marry a black woman. But I can guarantee you, had that been the other way around, a black man might have lost his life, right? But right. So, but I do, you know, but you know, what's always portrayed to us in the media, and that's either through like celebrities or, you know, actors and athletes and things of that nature, is that, you know, they always seem to, they get famous, they get rich, and then they end up with a white girl, right? Now,
right, the Kanye West
move. Right, the Kanye West move, right? So, and then, you know, but
it's funny, actually, he popped up in my search.
So, that's fine. So, like, whether it's true or not that black men marry black women more historically, that didn't matter to me. So my argument, and this is based off, just getting back to the young lady you're talking about, my argument was based off the psychological aspect, right? So right. My premise was that I didn't feel like black men intentionally married outside of their race because they did not like black women. You see what I'm saying? Or that they felt like they wanted a white woman. I felt like psychologically deep-rooted, maybe they knew, maybe they did not know, but they hated themselves, and they didn't want a child that looked like them. Because if you look at black men who do marry outside their race, it's not whether it's a white woman or an Asian woman or a Hispanic woman or a black woman with white features, right? It's not, okay. It's not always particularly just a white woman. A lot of times they will marry a black girl, but she's either light complected or a lighter complexion. She either wears her hair straight and she doesn't have black features besides maybe an ass, right? Because right. We love ass. So my premise and argument on this was that it's not that we particularly, black men particularly decide, okay, I'm not going to marry a black girl. I think we particularly hate black features, and we look for women that don't carry those black features, right? Because you don't want to reproduce yourself, right? You hate yourself. It's like a lot. You don't think about it. Like, you haven't sat down one day and said, okay, I hate myself. I don't want children that look like me. But it's deeply psychologically rooted because of the history of oppression and slavery and everything like that. And just the idea that black isn't good enough, you don't want children that look like you, so you end up with a mate that does not look like you, right? Now, then in counter to that, I also said this, right? Because I said a part of being conscious, everyone talks about conscious, like, oh, consciousness. Consciousness only means you are aware of yourself, right? So when you become conscious, that means now you are aware of what's deeply rooted in you. When I first became considered myself quote unquote conscious, right? Mm-hmm. It's when I realized the flaws within my own thinking, right? I heard the joke. Realized the flaws within my own thinking, right? I became conscious of my own thoughts and thought process and realized where some of my, you know, why I thought the way I thought. So conscious doesn't necessarily mean you have information now. That just means education. Doesn't mean you're conscious. You have to be conscious of yourself and your own thought process and thinking. So I feel like, so this is my premise now. I feel like black women are consciously today dating outside their race, where I feel like black men was subconsciously doing it, right? They wasn't intentionally, and I'm not saying not all of them. Obviously, I don't know the numbers, but I feel like it was more deeply psychologically rooted where you hated yourself and you just didn't want something that looked like you. And I feel like black women now look at what black men did, right? Are angry about that, thinking that we consciously did that. So you have a portion of anger like, oh, you betrayed us. Y'all been betraying us for 20 years. Right? You have a portion of that. And then you have a portion of, well, since y'all been doing it for so long, I'm going to do it too. So now where it might have been an unconscious decision by us linked to deep self-hatred and psychological issues due to white supremacy and oppression, it is a conscious decision by black women now who say, well, you guys are uneducated. You guys are in jail all the time. We make more money than you. And I'm going to consciously marry a white man now because y'all been doing it for 20 years. You understand what I'm saying? So that's my take on it. I could be wrong, but that's what I see, and that's what I'm thinking. That's what I think is going on, right?
Well, use that right there for you admitting that you could be wrong. Right. Say to anyone listening that you can leave a voice message. You can leave a voice recording. It's up to 1 minute. You can leave a voice recording here at Anchor, and you can say what you feel. And in the next episode, we can pick up from your comment and continue the discussion, because this is not a one-time discussion.
Right.
It's looking at ever, never-ending discussion, just education. I'm just using that there as a plug. Anyone listening, all six of you all, because there's going to be six of you, I promise.
Right. And we just want to add to that also that everything we state right now is just our opinions. We want to create the conversation. This is just our reflection on some things that are going on in society around us. Now, to piggyback off of that, right, and then I'm going to let you throw in your point, right? Let's bring it back full circle, right, to the interracial dating, right?
Okay.
We have Meghan Markle, I think her name is, right?
I have no clue, actually.
Yeah. So if I messed up on that, I apologize, everyone.
I mean, technically, wouldn't it be like Meghan?
I don't know. What's the royal family last name?
I have no clue.
Right.
I don't know anything about them, honestly.
Right. So, me neither. I just know that they have their title and their first name. It's Prince such and such, yeah. King, you know what I'm saying, Queen such and such, whatever their last name is, who knows? They never say it. So, so now she's Duchess, right? She's the Duchess, right? So, Duchess Meghan, right?
Why isn't she a princess? That's weird, but okay.
Yeah, because there's already a princess, so she's not a princess, right? Because there's already a succession in order, so she can't succeed, so she had to get another title somewhere.
Oh, because she wasn't born of the blood. She can't be. Oh, okay, well.
No, I just, he has an older brother, so the older brother will succeed, and his wife is the princess, right? So he's the prince, and the older brother will succeed, and then now that he's married, he just takes on title of another land area, basically. So he can't, you understand what I'm saying?
No, not at all, but okay.
I think that's how they do it in English royalty. Like, so if you have several siblings, right, the oldest is always the one that gets the throne, right? So when the
queen, I thought they were all princes though, and all
princesses. Yeah, they're all princes until they all get married, right? Then when they get married, you know what I'm saying, then you become, there only can be one prince of the succession, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but okay.
Because
yeah,
the queen, because the other person can't be the queen. You see what I'm saying? Or another princess. Now, if the brother
died. Oh, I see what you mean there. Gotcha. Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I still don't care, though, but that makes sense.
Right. So.
That does make sense.
So, yeah, they're going to be known as the Duchess of such and such, right?
The Duke and Duchess. Got it.
Right. The Dutch and Duchess. So, this is my question based off of that, right? Do we think now, right? Was it I don't know her dating history, right? But
okay.
Do you believe that it was a conscious decision by her to date him because he was a white man, because he was a prince, or was it just her not wanting someone that looked like her mother? You see what I'm saying?
I mean, so that's kind of like heavy. So I think her dad's white.
Right, her dad's white and her mom's black.
Right.
All the way black.
It falls outside of those three categories where it just could be somebody she likes.
Right.
So I will say this though. So my mom is really light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty dark skinned. Mm-hmm. My mom's really light skinned. And I talked to my grandmother because I did the ancestry.com test and it said I had like 11% European. So I asked my grandma, my living grandmother, because that whole side of the family, my mother's side of the family, is extremely light, and my mom always said they're Native American and they're light. And I asked my grandmother, you know, just like lineage and stuff, and essentially my great 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 great, so there's five greats, mm-hmm. grandfather was a slave master, because my grandmother's father. My grandmother's father's mother, I think it was. Yeah, my grandmother's father's mother, or my grandmother's, yeah, my grandmother's father's mother was the child of the slave master's son, something like that.
Mm.
So, you know, I got, of course, like most people born in the United States, or most black people in the United States, I have white blood flowing through me. But I say all that to say my mom is really light. So when I was a kid, I thought my mom was white. I always thought my mom was white, you know, when I was white. At least when I was like 3, 4, something like that. Of course, when I got older and I realized, you know, that I was black, that she was black, you know, that type of thing. Because it wasn't so much that my mom's like, she just, you know, she's really light skinned, really light skinned.
Mm-hmm. I remember meeting your mother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I say that to say, growing up, you know, as a kid, adolescent, you know, I always gravitated towards lighter skinned women. And it wasn't because I thought they looked better, it just they reminded me of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a subconscious thing that boys want, you know, women that remind them of their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And looks and, you know, similarities in a sense, you know, cares for you. Because you, ultimately what you want is someone to care for you the way your parent cares for you. Right. Mm-hmm. So you had a woman that's looking for a guy that's as protective as their father, or more protective than their father because their father wasn't protective enough, or vice versa.
Right, right, right.
But
subconsciously, you know, you're either looking for your mother or you're looking for your father, whether you know it
right.
or not.
So I was always looking for, you know, someone that reminded my mother. And it never was like a decision where I'm like, I'm only choosing light skinned women, right? Because that wasn't the case at all. But it was, I was always looking for someone that cared for me, like my mother cared for me. And I can't really, I can only have the number in my head, but like, I'm going to say it's a good 50-50 between light skinned women and dark skinned women. It wasn't like one or the other, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say, you know, if her father was completely white and her father was a great man or is a great man, don't know his, you know, living status, she may just saw this white guy and been like, oh, cool, he reminds me of my dad. Because the one thing about being interracial, and I can't speak on this at all, I guess kind of I can, but it's kind of like 5 grades ago. But, you know, if you're born right now and if your parent, one half of your parent is black or Asian or whatever, the other half of your parent is another race, you know, you're between two races at that point. You're in the middle of two races. So growing up, you may not think that I need to be with someone that's black or with someone that's white. You're thinking I need to be with someone I enjoy, I like, or they need to be black or white or mixed or whatever. But you're not only tied down to one race, because I know in black families, a lot of times they say, you know, don't bring a white girl home. You know, don't bring a white boy home.
Yep.
And in white families, they say the thing, don't bring a black girl home.
Right.
Right. But in a racial family, like your mom or your dad, most of the time will not tell you don't bring that other race home because that other person is that race.
You right. You'll be denying your own heritage. Right.
Right. So it's like your mom, if she's black, isn't going to say don't bring a white girl home if your dad's white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like unless your dad is like that gangster ass white dude, you know, from fucking the Bronx or some shit, maybe. But for the most part, you're not going to hear that coming out the other parent's mouth. So you're not, as a kid, you're not being told what to dislike already. And a lot of families, of course, when you're of one race, they tell you don't date these other races. Like if you're Asian, you need to find a good, you know, Japanese girl or a good Chinese girl. They don't want to hear you talking to Sally, you know, from down the street. You know, they want you dating someone of the same race. If you think of like King of the Hill, you ever watch King of the Hill?
Yeah, I used to watch King of the Hill.
You know, of course, like Khan hated that Bobby and Khan Jr. were dating, right? Mm-hmm. Not because he was a bad kid, because he was white.
Right.
You know, and I think he liked it better when she was dating Joseph because he knew Joseph was Native American. He knew he wasn't white.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like, well, that's better than, because there were no other age kids. Like, well, that's better than being white was being, you know, Native American. So yeah, like I think when it comes down to in like kids of mixed race, they're in between. So like if you're of a mixed race family and you're black, right?
Yeah.
And you have black friends, right? So let's say you live in a majority black area and everybody's like, oh yeah, white people are terrible. You're like, well, I mean, my mom's white. You know what I'm saying? Like you're like, I understand you all have this oppression thing and this is what happened to you, but my mom's white. And I don't have, you know, someone, like, I don't get that treatment because I think a lot of times, and well, I don't think, I know, a lot of times kids get their hatred from their parents without even knowing why they're angry. You know, like, it's that systematic or it's that generational hate,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, think about it like religion. You are inherited your religion, so you inherit hate. Like, I was watching a video of this one guy. He does, like, trips on Facebook and goes places and does stuff. I think he's like Pakistani, and he was in Jerusalem, and he was talking to some Jews or something, recording a video. And somebody came and asked some questions, like, yada, yada. And they were like, oh, cool, you know, are you French? And this is all, of course, in another language. And he's like, the guy's like, oh, are you French? He's like, no, I'm Pakistani. And the guy's like, no, you don't look Pakistani, you're French. He's like, no, I'm Pakistani. He's like, no, you're French. Like, no, I'm Pakistani. No, you're French, right? he's insisting that, because he's looking at his, because him and the guy were talking about, you know, his accomplishments and Facebook and stuff and
right.
How good he is on computers. And the guy's like, no, Pakistani is stupid. You can't be Pakistani. Like, this is how the guy is. So
a lot of Israelis are like that. Do you need to be, well, let me not say that, because that'll be a generalized
that's
statement.
A generalization.
Right. So
but,
that's
so in that sense, you know, he was like, that's what happened. And then he was like, he was used to that. That's fine. But then the girl came over, and the girl's probably like no more than like 14. Mm-hmm. And she had never been, you know, of course, anyplace else. And in the background, you know, the guy he was originally talking to was telling the kid, like telling his wife and his kid and stuff, that this guy's Pakistani. And she's like, oh, he's Pakistani? He's like, yes, I am. And she's like, why is he happy about that? Pakistanis are idiots. They're trash. You know, this is what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And in his video, he was like, it didn't hurt me when the adult said it. It hurt me when the child said it, because I realized at that point that child never had a chance to know anything else but hatred. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about when, you know, if you have a white kid and this white kid only knows white people and is taught like being white is great, this kid never had a chance to know anything else, right? And by the time they get around to getting to know it, they may be in college, they may be in, you know, they may be in the workforce, or they work with somebody else of another race. And at that point, it's a lot of work to get them out of that mindset. And it's like, if you're interracial, you know, you have, and I'm going to say a more open mindset if your parents are, you know, are black and white, because you see, yes, you can see the color of your parents, but you have good experience and bad experiences from both races. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was growing up, I grew up in D.C. and Southeast, and there's a lot of black people, only black people.
Mm-hmm.
But my school had white teachers and black teachers. When I was doing, they had a thing called like Everybody Wins or Everybody Reads or something,
mm-hmm.
where my reading partner was a congressman from like the Midwest. Or I have pictures of this stuff somewhere in my mom's house. So, like, my reading partner when I was like a 9 or 10 year old black boy was this like 40-something-year-old congressman, right? And we read all the time. And I had like staff members in the Hill and stuff like that. And they were most of the time always white. Then when I went off to like the tutor house I went to, I had black tutors, I had white tutors, I had Jewish tutors, I had Asian tutors. So throughout my entire growth process growing up, I was exposed to other races. So I've always had a mind on other races, because I know like some good people of these other races.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison, if you only grow up in your own community, and say black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, you only know your community. So to you, everybody else is an outsider, because anything you hear from the adults in your community is what you stick on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you hear. And it's detrimental to that child, because the child knows nothing besides what they're being taught. You know, because the kid can't read, so they're being told what to do. Like, slaves were told the Bible. They weren't allowed to read the Bible. They were told the laws. They weren't allowed to read the laws.
Mm.
You know, they were. It was under supervision of someone to tell them this is what it means. And I say all that to say, and I'm about to shut up, at the end of the day, a lot of people don't have a choice, right? And if they don't have a choice, they only go with what they know. Like, when you don't know, like, when you don't fully understand, or you are thrown an option between left and right, a lot of times people just choose to go straight, because they don't really know. Like, their mind freezes up and they don't know. And when you're interracial, or, you know, if you're dating somebody of a different race, you know, you're doing it because that's what you choose to do. Now, of course, it may be, like I said, it's a conscious decision, because you're consciously looking like, hey, this person's white. Like, I've talked to a few white girls, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a white girl. Hey, how are you? And just talking to this person, getting to know this person. Because, again, I grew up around different races. So it wasn't like, oh, I can't talk to white women, because that was never in my mind. But I have friends of mine who only dated white guys because their parents told them they couldn't date white guys. So they don't date black guys because their parents told them they could never date never date white guys. So, no, yeah, never date white guys. So all they date is white guys.
Gotcha. You know?
So I was like, if you go back to like Childish Gambino and the Duchess, you know, they probably were never told these things, right? Where you can't date this other race or you have to date this race. Right. It just depends on like who was your flavor at that time. Like Gambino said, you know, he dated black women, but they just never really got him the way that this one chick got him. And it's not because she's white. Maybe it was, but it wasn't. He was just like, I need to go to white women. It's just like, she gets me. You know, that person just gets me.
And he's a little eccentric and a little bit outside of our culture when it goes to behavior. Now, he does a very good job of portraying our culture in his writing and in his music. But it seems like as far as his behavior, he doesn't behave the way that we would expect a typical black man to behave as far as the way he walks, talks.
Well, he dresses.
And dresses, right.
Right, he dresses differently. And a lot, and this isn't 100% staple, but black women may not like the way he dressed. And not saying that all black women, but maybe in Atlanta where he grew up.
Right. I mean, he's from Atlanta, and you see the way he dressed, he'll wear the same pair of jean shorts for the week. Like,
we've seen Crab Mob, right? We've seen the Crab Mob like cover photo, Nuck If You Buck, right? They're all wearing giant white t-shirts. He may never ever, he probably just didn't wear that.
Yeah.
You know, like, he probably wasn't the flavor in his community.
So, but that's a cop out to me, though, honestly, because I mean, because there's, yeah, you might not those people in your community, but he's international. There's people, it's outside, he can go outside of his community and could have dated plenty of black women, but
he could have. But you know, like at the end of the day, it's like I said,
there's plenty of black women that are different. Like there's plenty. I know black girls that watch anime and have and dress different. And you know what I'm saying? Like you know, yeah. Like
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not. What I'm saying is, what if he didn't just say I'm going to go out and date a white girl?
What right, if he was you're saying? Like, what if it just organically happened? Right.
He's just like I met this chick at the call because like so you know I play Yu-Gi-Oh. You know I'm looking at my Beyblades right now, ready to Beyblade. You know what I'm saying? Like this is like. I have anime stuff in my room. I'm looking at like a book bag from a cartoon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when I was growing up, I was looked at as weird by black girls.
Yeah.
Right. But I was also looked at pretty chill by black girls. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't, for me, it was never difficult. Some girls didn't like me. Some girls did. It was what it was. When I went off to college, black girls liked me. Some black girls didn't. White girls liked me. Some white girls didn't. It didn't really matter. You know, Asian chicks liked me. Some other Asian chicks didn't. It doesn't really matter. But it depends on who you click with. And the one reason why I never click with anybody outside our race is because we don't have a similar growing up kind of story, right? Like, that's kind of the thing. We don't have a similar growing up story. Like, Chris and I, you know, Chris is black, I'm black, right? Chris grew up in, like, the suburbs. I grew up in the city. So we don't connect in that suburban city kind of growing up thing, right? Mm-hmm. But we connect with being black.
Right.
You know? So it's like, if I meet a white chick and she lives in the ghetto and I live in the ghetto, right? We can't connect on how people treat us because of our races, but we can both say, you remember that time when we had hot dogs and beans for dinner, like every day of the week.
Right.
There's a connection there, right? So it's like, of course, you want somebody that connects with you 100%, but shit, you know, maybe 75% is good enough.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, now, let's go full circle. Let's come back to my original question. And I'm going to give you the reason why I think you cannot be pro-black and marrying outside your race. Now I'm not saying there's something wrong with marrying outside your race. Whatever you choose to do, more power to you, right? That's what you choose to do, right? But I don't feel like you could be pro-black and marry outside your race, because I think the most revolutionary thing and pro-black thing you can do is marry a black woman and have black children. I think there's nothing more revolutionary or pro-black than that. Secondly, as you just talked about, right, when you were talking about the interracial children thing, right, you talk about when you have one white parent and one black parent, those children are a lot of times confused, right? You can't necessarily, I'm not going to say hate, because I don't, that's a strong word, but you can't necessarily look at the oppression of a people, right? Like, all black people share a commonality is that we understand the condition of the world that we live in, right? We don't have to say anything, but we know the condition of the world that we live in and what we have been through historically put on us by white people, right? It doesn't mean we don't hate white people, right? But just by looking at each other, we know what we all know the history, right? We know what we've been through and what's been placed on us by white folks, right?
Okay.
But when you have our mixed origin, right? Where does your loyalty lie, right? We have a natural loyalty towards each other. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, I have a naturally loyal. When I walk into a room, you and that one black person look at each other and you're not. You automatically know. You know what I'm saying? It's a natural.
I got your back.
It's a natural loyalty to that, right?
Right.
It's not, you know what I'm saying? I understand your struggle. You understand my struggle. We both black. We know how it goes down in America, right? No words need to be said.
100%.
But then when you have you have a mixed race child, right? Mm-hmm. And they go, how do I identify myself? This is the questions I'm sure they have in their head. How do I identify myself? My black side, we have this history of struggle and oppression and, you know what I'm saying, culture and everything that comes along with it. And, you know what I'm saying, it's beautiful things that come out of black culture. And then it's my white side. And I have this other history, right? But so I have one side of me that is the oppressed. And I have one side of me that is the oppressor. You're both. How do you identify? See, I feel like just by you now intertwining in that, I don't feel like interracial marriage is, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I feel like you are creating a conundrum in your child, because now until oppression is eradicated, which I don't see happening anytime soon.
Nah, it ain't going away.
It ain't going nowhere, right? So until oppression is eradicated, you are creating children that are both the oppressed and the oppressor who don't know how to identify themselves. And you are setting them up. You see what I'm saying? You are setting them up. And so it's not, to me, it's not about who you love. You love who you love, and there's nothing you can do. Right? You love who you love. There's nothing you can do about that. Yeah, you love. Well, there is something you can do about that, but you love who you love, right? But you got to understand that what you're doing when you bring children into this world now, because you can't be both the oppressed and the oppressor. You can't be both God and the devil. You can't be, you see what I'm saying? You can't be Jesus and Allah. You can't be both. You see what I'm saying? And so you setting that next generation up. So that's why I feel like the most revolutionary thing you could do is just marry a black woman and have black children. That's the most.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with that at all in any sense. Everything you said makes complete sense. But what I am saying is I believe you can be pro-black and date outside your race, because my initial thing is anybody can be pro-black no matter what their race.
Right.
Because pro-black by definition means you are for the advancement of black people, right? Right. It'll be asinine for anyone to say that Bernie Sanders is not pro-black, right? That'll be just asinine to say, because he's like, nah.
Okay.
I'm trying to help.
Now, here's another question for you, right? Mm-hmm. Let's think about it like this, okay? Black people are the only people, right?
Right.
That can say I'm pro-black, right? Think about that.
I'm disagreeing on that one.
No.
But I'm listening, but I disagree.
Let me finish what I'm saying, because I think you know what I'm saying yet.
Okay.
If a white man says I'm pro-white, he's considered what?
Considered racist.
Right. If an Asian man says I'm pro-Asian, he's considered what?
Well, no. See, that's so there's a difference.
A white man. The Asian man can say
The reason why I'm saying there's a difference is because
you see what I'm saying?
White isn't a race. Right? White isn't a race. White's a color. So when people say white power, it's not they're looking out for, like, it's not a race thing. So you can, okay, so think about this way. Cain Velasquez, UFC, former UFC heavyweight champion, right?
Yes.
And
I know who Cain is.
I'm saying for everybody else that's listening. Across his chest, it says brown pride, right? Right. Brown pride. And that's because he's Mexican. So it means brown pride.
Correct.
Right? Brown is, like, it was a whole debate. People were like, well, that's kind of racist. And his thing was, brown, I'm referring to Mexican, right? Like, I'm referring to us as a race, as brown people, right? Which also can include, like, Middle Easterns and stuff like that. But that's what he's saying, like, brown pride. It's like, this is a race here of people that have been oppressed, and we're coming together, right? Like, if you say black pride, that means, you know, black people in this particular race coming together. I mean, no one says, like, yellow pride for Asian people, because I guess that would be pretty racist. That's one thing I've been kind of weird at, like, kind of fishy about, because like Hispanic people and anybody of like Mexican descent or Latin descent, they always say brown pride, right? And if you're black, you know, African American descent, you're like black pride.
But that all all stems from us though, right? Like we started black pride, and then Mexicans all came along with the brown pride because they wanted to jump on board with it. But that all started from us, right?
We can't say that for sure, because Mexicans had their whole, you know, slaughter thing going on as well. So we don't know what was going on over there.
Well, man, 60s eras, I'm black and I'm proud, man. We started it.
We don't know what they were saying down.
I don't know what they were saying. Like that, they wouldn't say brown pride. Down there.
Is they're dealing with, you know, getting their shit invaded and stuff like that. So we don't know. But, you know, essentially what I'm saying is, if you say white pride, it's not a race. You're not particularly honing down to one race, right? You're not saying like white Americans, because you can have a guy that comes over from Norway and you're just like, okay, this guy's white, you know, boom.
He's still but, white. Oh, he's only, but you want to know something? He's mm-hmm. only white in America.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he's only white in America, right? Like, when I went over to Paris, they asked me, like, a couple of people I was chit-chatting with, they were like, oh, you know,
what's your nationality?
Yeah, like, where are you from? No, not nationality, because they can tell by my accent. But they said, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from Washington, D.C., United States. And they said, oh, okay, cool. Where are your parents from? Right? And I was like, oh, they're from such and such. I was like, okay, where are your ancestors from? I was like, well, I don't really know.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They want to know what's your nationality, right?
Right. And right. I was like, this whole thing, because slavery happened. I was like, oh, yeah.
Right. You see what I'm saying? That's another thing, right? The rest of the world, that's a whole nother podcast. I can't even get to that.
We're going to do that next.
Right. But the whole rest of the world recognizes nationality. The United States is the only place that divided us into colors, right? So, but I'm saying that this, I was saying what I was saying to say this, right? We can be prideful of where, for who we are, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I can say I'm black and I'm proud and I can stand up and say that. And the only reason I can stand up and say that is because of the history of oppression, right? The narrative is that oppressed people can speak up and say, pretty much say what we want. Like, I can say nigger, you can't, right? I can do this and you can't, because you're the oppressor and I'm the oppressed, and I can kind of say, I can be proud of who I am, because for forever you guys have been making us feel down about who we are, right?
Right, right.
Now, you said a white person can be pro-black, right? Which means they're rooting for us, right? That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, inherently, you root for what you look like. Let's just be honest, right? Like,
okay, yeah.
I'm not saying I'm anti-white, because I'm not anti-white, but no black person would say, well, I'm pro-white too, right?
Okay.
They would never say that. I would never say I'm pro-white too. You would say, oh, I'm pro-everybody, but you would never say I'm pro-white, right?
Right.
So, but a white person can never say I'm pro-right, but you think they're not. Like, you think, like, you know the book I told you. Remember when we went boxing, right? We went to boxing practice. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you about the book I was reading, Tribe, right?
Yeah.
We human beings like to be categorized. We like to feel a part of a team, right? We like to feel like you're part of the red team, I'm part of the blue team. You're part of this team, I'm part of that team. We like it. We like an other, right? We like to say, right, I'm this people and you're this people. And that comes from evolution, right? We evolved. We all got together into small little tribes, and then we build off those tribes and protected each other from other tribes and other situations, right? So we like to be a part of a team. That's how we identify ourselves. We're social creatures, and we like to be a part of a team. So I like to be a part of the black team, and you say you like to be a part of the white team, right? But they don't say it, right? And this is where I said the white liberal is dangerous. Because inherently, you really like to be a part of the white team. You love being a part of the white team because it's great to be a part of the white team. But you will tell me to my face that you're a part of my team, where evolutionarily, that is against your nature, because evolution tells me that you like to be a part of the team that you're a part of. And that team that you're a part of is Caucasian, and you're always supposed to be pro your team. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that, right? But what I am saying is that I have met and read and watched, you know, videos and stuff on white people, right? Like white dudes and white women that are like, I don't really fuck with white people like that. So that's why I date white. And I'm sure you've seen it too. They're like, I don't really like white guys because white guys are trash.
Yeah, right? I've seen those people too. Yeah.
And it goes for every race, you know.
Right. There's some people that are anti their own people.
Right, and it's a fake thing, but people will fuck with like a white person that's like, fuck white people, I'm all for black people. They will fuck with that. They'll be like, okay, I fuck with your self-hate. But they don't want the self-hate coming from their own people.
Right.
That seems to make sense. But at the end of the day, someone can say, like, how do I put it? All right, because you said where your allegiance lies. And we're coming up on towards the end of this one.
So okay.
This is my last thing. You know, where your allegiance lies, right? I understand completely what you mean, because if there's a war between a black person and, I mean, the black people and the white people, and you're a mixed race, you don't know where you're going to go, right? Because you're going to feel like you're betraying somebody. So you may choose nothing. And that was the thing I meant by going left and right. You may choose nothing. And if you're black and you're dating somebody white and there's a war, you don't want to go in a war with your spouse. So you may choose nothing. So it's understandable where people, you know, can assume that revolutionaries of whatever race cannot date the other race, because now they have a confliction. There's a conflicting moment in their heart.
Right.
And if there's doubt in your heart, there's no way out of it. But what I am saying is that there are people that really fucks with your race. That's like, I really want y'all to do better, right? I want y'all to be great. I want to help y'all. But of course, if some shit kick off between two sides, I'm choosing my side.
Right.
And like, let's be honest here. That's with anything. I've helped people, you know, with the sports and stuff, right? Like, let's play together. You know, we've worked out together. We've played on the same team and stuff. But when it comes down for a tournament, I'm on my team and you're on your team now. We're going against each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've helped each other train and shit like that. We've helped each other, you know, get better and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's you versus me. And I see you right now are my, you know, are my companion, and I'm working with you. But when it comes down to war, we are enemies. And you've seen it in movies and everything. It's like, we grew up together, we're best friends, yada yada. But right now, we're enemies.
Now take that same statement that you use for sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
We work together, we can play together, we can train together, right? But when it comes down to the game, I'm pro my team, right? I'm completely okay with that, right? Completely okay with that statement, right? Now imagine if you pro my team, but your team already start off with 14 points. And that's white supremacy, right? Because everybody's always on opposite teams. And we already, I wanted to be, and all we said, we wanted to be an equal playing field, right? Because we all want, you got your team, I got my team. But the problem with white supremacy is that they starting off with 14 and we starting off with -10, because we got to deal with 400 years of slavery, because we still got to wake up and come out of the psychological condition that we in first. You see what I'm saying? So we are already, not only are we not even got no points on the board, we in the negative. Now we've been making ground on that negative. But we in the negative. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if you watch the anime reference, right? It's a new anime that just came out called the Black Bulls.
No, I've heard of it.
You got to check it out. It's based made by the same people who made Naruto. It's real good. The character, I think his name's Asata or something like that. Can't remember it right now. But he's pretty much like a Naruto type character. Always, he's an underdog, but he never gives up. Right?
Right.
Anyway, he ends up joining this, it's about magicians and sorcerers and stuff like that, right? He ends up joining this sorcerer team, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that they made it this way, right? So the sorcerer team that is like the underdogs is called the Black Bulls, right?
Okay.
And the sorcerer team that like everyone loves are like the Heavenly Doves or some shit. And of course their colors are like white and other people's colors are black, right?
Right.
And right. And then they get scored, right, based on how many successful missions they have, right? Mm-hmm. The Heavenly Dove team has like 400 points or something, right?
Right.
And the Black Bull team, when he joins, is in the -50s. Like, so it's like a clear representation. Like when I started watching the anime, I was like, it's like a clear representation of white supremacy. Like they're supposed to be on the same team for the same country, right? They're supposed to be fighting for the same country, but when the teams are like when they're going against each other, the other team is not even on an equal playing field. So that's my only take on what
this
I'm
is how about. This is how I'm. This is my last thing. I get that it makes sense and it sounds about right. But what I can say that I have seen, and of course I haven't heard this, but I've seen what I felt, is there are white people out there that acknowledge there's that gap, you know, that big gap. And be like, all right, cool. I'm going to help you guys, try to get you guys out of this gap. But now when we get on equal playing field, it's you versus me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing, like when it comes to sports, we both in sports, like, you cool with helping somebody out that's weaker than you, right?
Until they get to the same level as you.
Until they get to the same level, now they're your rival.
Right.
Right? And when they become your rival, you guys may still kick it, but now you two are rivals. So,
but you know, the only people that'll do that are strong-minded people. The only people that are right are strong-minded people.
And that's where you get someone like Bernie Sanders, right?
Right.
Who I would say is pro-black, right? Yeah. Now, of course, if shit hits the fan, is he fighting for anything? He might just be like, fuck everybody. But at the end of the day, you know, it takes a strong mind to say, my people done fucked up. Let me try and help you. Right? Because I'm tired of seeing you lose this fight. So let me teach you how to fight better so the fight is at least more equal. Right? And that's my thought process. Like,
I get
you can be so black and be of a different race. It doesn't mean that you're going to turn your back on your own race. It just means that you can acknowledge that another race doesn't deserve to be treated like shit, you know? And if you date outside your race and stuff like that, because you never know, like a white guy that dates only black women that has black kids may be like, I don't want fucking white kids. I want black kids.
There are some white guys like that. I've met one. Yeah. I've met white guys that only dated black women and wanted black children.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And like, no one's born the color they are or race they are, right?
I've also met black girls that only dated white men and wanted white children.
Right. So like you don't get to choose the way you're born, right? But you get to choose the way you die. That's the way I see it. So if you were born white or born black or born of any other race, that doesn't mean you didn't get to choose that. And since it wasn't your choice, I don't think you should be bound by that. Mm. You should be bound by your choices. You know, now, of course, if you choose to only do white or whatever, however you may choose, that's on you. But you didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose to be whatever race, color, or creed you are. You know, it's like you're free to change your religion in most countries. You know, you're free to change your, you know, major in college. You're free to change, you know, anything else about you except your skin color. And that was the one thing, I guess we can pick this up on the next one, is like Lady Rachel or whatever. Rachel Dahl. I haven't seen her documentary on Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet either.
I read some people's comments on it. And essentially she was like, she just hated being white. You know, she didn't want to be white because she thought white was inferior. Right? So she wanted to be black. She wanted to represent what she thought was better. And it's like, in a case like that, like, yeah, she was acting a different way, but like, shit. How do you tell somebody, look, you were born this way, you stuck like this, you know, no one's ever going to accept you. And it kind of sucks.
But, yeah.
You know?
That's interesting. That's
yeah. But, yeah, so I say we end this one here.
Yeah, let's end it open and let's see, you know, for all the listeners, if they have comments about our conversation and they give us our thoughts, and maybe we'll talk about it at another segment based off the responses that we get.
Yeah, so anybody listening, don't forget, you can leave a voice comment and we'll get it and we can use it for our next podcast. Also, don't forget, I'm going to add a link to the Instagram page in the bio of this one and also our bio. You can go and follow. What I think would be an amazing thing for Instagram, this is for you, Keith, is we post questions on there. People, you know, engage in conversation in those questions and then choose from those questions to add to the podcast. Once in a while, we can invite some of those folks that are really vocal to join in our conversation as we're having now and just continue the conversation and the dialogue in the community, outside the community, and just pretty much anywhere somebody wants to talk. So anybody listening, do us a favor, follow, you know, enjoy what we have, and please share it. So Mike here is signing off. Keem has anything else to say, he's more than welcome to say it.
Good night, everyone. This is the first episode of Reflections of Melanin Men, and just, you know, hope everyone enjoyed the conversation, and follow, subscribe, and like. And that's all I got.
All right. So, everybody, peace out. Catch you all later.